Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Company. Here we are, another Wednesday afternoon. This year is zooming by. If it's all chaotic and busy out there, hey, take 25. Pull yourself a cuppa, put your feet up and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
I'm at a party I don't want to be at, and I don't ever wear a suit and tie yet. Wondering if I can sneak out the back. Nobody's even looking me in my eyes. Can you take my hand, finish my drink, say, shall we dance? Hell yeah. You know I love you, did I ever tell you? You make it better like that. Don't think I fit in at this party. Everyone's got so much to say. Yeah. I always feel like I'm nobody. Who wants to fit in?
Song, and I played it especially for you, Irene, because you were AWOL last week. So there's Ed Sheeran for you. I know you love him.
Of course I do. I don't actually follow him as well as I should. There's some sort of tragedy going on in his life, and I don't know what it is, but his music's still really great. So there you go.
Yeah, actually, I heard something about that as well. And you know, I remember reading the story, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, well, really?
Kind of being that important. Other stuff obviously is happening along the way.
Well, it was obviously very important to him because it's what I see on his social media sites is sort of all doom and gloom and we're supporting you, Ed, and all the rest of it, but never got around to finding out why he's needing so much support at the moment.
Well, I mean, I would Google it, but actually, no, let's leave it as a little kind of a mystery out there. I'm sure our listeners out there are going, oh, Mariska and Irene, do you not know? Why can't you remember? Tell us. Chuck it up on our Facebook page and remind us.
Yeah, just that we don't get round to Googling all that stuff that's about something that we're not really that interested in. I just love his music and I want him to be happy. That's it, end of story.
Yeah. And it's funny actually how people outpour all this stuff and their comments might be just kind of like, well, actually it's not that bad. I shouldn't say that because everybody's personal thing is bad to them. So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Your tragedy is not somebody else's, but it's still your tragedy.
Absolutely. And I think that's important to remember, isn't it? Especially as we kind of go through today and, you know, we're just moving on this little fast-paced life in our own little world, just trying to figure out how, to keep things going.
I tell you what, this whole blooming global warming thing has got me planning my trips a totally different way to how I always do. I mean, every time I go to do something now, I look to see what the weather is in that area and what's happening. Whereas I never bothered before. It was just, you know, if it's going to rain, it's going to rain. But, whoa, now, no.
You need little floaters on your van, little things that if, you know, you went into a flood, it would just, like, float. But like, they've done with these new houses in Holland, actually, they have put them on poles, and if the water rises, the house just rises up with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So someone's been thinking, as you know, as you do, so I could just see you with little, like little wings, little, you know, those little wings that children put on their arms when they're first learning to swim. You could have some of them on your van. You could just like.
I think I'd need a few more than two arms, but I actually saw a vehicle yesterday. Now I was walking through the Rotorua Gardens, the city gardens, and what gardeners there were very pretty, but there certainly wasn't a lot of them. But that beautiful big old building that's there that was built back in 1920.
It's sort of, from what I read,
like the old fashioned, you know, where the English or the Europeans would come and have a spa holiday, and it was all very ritzy, and there was croquet out on the lawn and that sort of thing, you know. Absolutely magnificent building, but they've closed it because it's not earthquake proof.
No. And so gosh, how many millions, well, how many hundreds of years has it been standing there, for goodness sakes?
My point exactly. It just did my head in. You can imagine me standing there and I'm reading the sign and it's saying only 19% of the building is earthquake proof. The rest of it, no, only 19% of the building is not earthquake proof. The rest of it, the other 81% or whatever, scrapes in, is fine. But because 19% and it's used for public gatherings and that, it's got to be closed and it's got to be made earthquake proof. So admittedly, there's a whole pile of thermal activity underneath this building, but there always has been, and nothing new has happened. There's been no quake or anything that's caused any more damage that I can read. I could be wrong, but on the signs, but I can read. So man and all his arrogant wisdom of today's generation has decided, right, this doesn't come up to the standards that I have set in the last 5 years, so therefore we're going to close you down. The fact that it's lasted 300 years through everything that's happened, I mean, really?
Oh, I know. It's just a shame. And it will cost so much. And then what happens? You know, there's a huge cost that goes to that as well. And you're right, it's on squidgy stuff anyway.
Yeah,
and it has been since day dot.
So they've closed that, and there was another building that was built. That building was built in 1920, and the other building next to it, which is ugly as, you know, not pretty at all, just a concrete building, but it was built to be a spa and bath and da-da-da as well, and that was built in 1933, and that's closed off as well. And not allowed to be used. But there's no signs on that one saying why. So I think that one is all incorporated in the same. Well, no, because there were only pictures of the other one. So I don't know why they've closed that one off. But there's no spa. I had a sore back yesterday and I really wanted to go and have, you know, a good old spa, mud bath or something in one of those old facilities that I remember going to years and years ago. So I went to Gardens in the Park Music instead.
I suppose you could have gone down to, is it Devil's Elbow? Devil's something? It's a bit further down the road, though.
I'm just looking now because the campsite I'm in at the moment is a little bit too far out of town for me to be able to walk to, and I can't be bothered taking my awning down and everything every time. So I'm just looking for another place to go to now, but I would really like to have a place that has got a thermal spa or just a thermal hot water or something to soak in because I've got sore backs at the moment.
Well, two things there. You probably need a little moped so that you can, like, leave your van all, you know, busy all kind of set up, and then you can just scoot around on your little moped. And you could probably, you know, she'd sit on the back of your van there. And also, I remember going camping down in Rotorua, gosh, many, many years ago, and they asked us whether we wanted a heated camping site or cold. And we're like, yeah, you're having us on. Come on. Anyway, no. So we took the heated. Oh, my gosh, it almost melted out the bottom of our tent. You know, when it just starts to melt, yep. Just starts to get a little bit crinkly. Yeah. But, man. And it was just, if I remember correctly, it was a day that was a bit, or a night that was a bit, it was probably a bit drizzly, you know, a bit miserable. And, oh, we were so snuggled up in our tent. On our air mattress.
You need to be careful you didn't get cooked by the steam. I mean, that steam, when it decides it's going to pop out, comes out. Well, I stayed at this wonderful hot pool place last year, and for the life of me, I make notes of every place I stay, but can you think I can find that place in my notes? No. I mean, organisation is my forte, yes. Nope.
Oh, there's some great spots around Rotorua, though, and I think if you know where to look, I mean, there's some great little swimming holes or little hot swimming holes, if you like, that, you know, that are around and about. It's just knowing where they are.
Exactly. And yeah. I've spent the last hour going into all the NZMCA app things and that and looking at one after another after another after another. Nope. You know, some of them have put their prices up to, you know, $65 a night. And you know, one of the things that's really annoying me, a lot of them have now, they used to always have a price per person, a price for the campsite, which covered one person. And then it was $20 or $10 or something extra for every person that was staying on the campsite. Now they're just making it two-person campsite.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it's hardly fair, is it?
It is not fair. And so I rang a couple of them this morning and they said, oh, $55. And I said, oh, there's only one. There's only me. Yeah, sorry, $55 is, you can have up to two people for $55. And I said, no, okay, fine, bye, see ya. You know, it's just everybody's just pushing that little bit more to grab that little bit more dollar. And it's just not fair. It's just not right. It's not fair. It's not good practice. So we'll see how long that lasts.
I suppose they think that if it's a van or something, that, well, you're right. I mean, it's a bit bizarre. You still, whether you're one or two people, you still take up the same amount of space.
Yep. So having that one campsite price for one person is a very fair way to go. And then adding per person after that, because each person uses more power. Uses the, you know, the showers and everything. So every person after that. So if they need to put their prices up, fine, put it up per person, you know, not put it up and so I'm having to pay the same as a couple next door. You know, it's just crazy. Not fair. I'm sorry, that's not fair.
You'll have to do that freedom camping.
I know, and I love to, but I've got a couple of friends in this campsite, and so that's why I've ended up here.
Actually, it's a bit more difficult. I know you've got a loo, but have you got a shower? Do you use one of the solar showers?
No, but I only go for 3 days freedom camping anyway because I do what I call bird baths, and I do have a solar shower out the back, which I put out in the summertime, but during the summer I'm along the beach all the time. So I don't really need it. So I hardly ever use my solar shower at all. And in the winter time, I'm bird bathing for 3 days and then I had a camping ground so that I can go and have a decent shower.
Actually, and a bit more difficult to use the solar shower in winter. It doesn't heat up quite as well as it does in summer.
Well, it does heat up really well. It's just standing out there in the wind. The water's hot, but the rest of it is cold. No, so, I mean, you can't have it inside. You've got to have it outside and everything else about it. So it's sort of like I have this thing about standing out there with ice and snow around my feet and hot water coming out. No, that just doesn't work for me.
Have you not got like a little tarp that you can put round, just, you know, one of those ones that flick round so at least you're not getting all the wind on you?
I have got one, but believe me, that the tarp just blows in against you and the tarp's cold. It just doesn't work. Just don't get technical here. It just doesn't work. If you need a tarp for the wind, then believe me, the tarp blowing against you is just as cold as standing out there in the wind. And then you get all tangled up in the tarp. It's like, oh, yeah. And that word that I can't say over the radio comes out frequently.
You've got to get a better system going. By crikey. You think
that's
you just
wrong.
Have a little thing.
What I'm doing. I'm not complaining. I'm happy with the way I'm doing it. Bird baths and then booking into a camping site. That's fine by me.
Oh, dear. And so thinking about getting around and about, you're right, because that's one of the challenges of, you know, having a camper van or however small or big it is. Because when you want to go out and about, you don't want to be, you know, driving that hulking great thing around. And to have something like a little moped, I know people that have got really big kind of camper vans usually haul a car behind it, you know, and that as well, that they can sneak around and about. Yeah, I reckon either that or those electric bikes these days would be actually not a bad thing.
Okay, so here's the thing. I have been, for the last year, I've been studying all the different ways that I'm going to put an electric bike or an ordinary bike or a little e-scooter or something on the back of my van, right? But it's not so easy with mine because the door opens up and not out. But there is this lovely bike rack that I've found, which you can put around the bumper part, and it just pulls out and goes around, and then you can open the door. So that's very nice, and that will hold up to two bikes, that one. And the cost of putting that in isn't so bad either. I can get it done for under $1,000. E-bikes, I've decided I don't really want to go that way, because I really think the amount of electricity that we're going to be using when we haven't set up our regeneration systems well enough yet is going to be massive, and we're going to end up with power problems. I've only got about 10 years left of my life, you know, so I'm going, okay, I buy an e-bike, and then I find, right, I can't get it charged because, you know, cars are taking priority and da-da-da. So you have to be in a charging station where you can charge your e-bike because you can't charge it from the van, you know.
Yeah. Don't they have some that charge themselves when you are riding them?
They do. It depends how much you're using the power and how much you're using. You have to ride the pedal system as well as power. So they do have some of those. But everybody that I've seen that has e-bikes are frantically charging them all the time. You know, they come back and they're on the charge, and the e-bike has to go on the charge rather than the camper van and so on. So they're a bit of an issue. So I have an issue with e-bikes. The second thing is they're incredibly heavy. So getting them up onto the bike rack is an issue. So I solved that problem as well. I've designed a little... I really looked into this last year. You've got no idea. So I designed a little scoop. It's just a little aluminum scoop thing that you just wheel the bike up onto the thing. So I got that problem all solved. Whether it be just a trail bike or an e-bike, doesn't matter. I've solved how to get it up there without breaking my old back.
You think you just use hydraulics, to be fair?
Oh, hey, where am I going to put it? You're just being smart because of my bed. My wonderful hydraulic bed.
The same thing, like the rack on the back could just have a hydraulic so it drops down, and that would also help. Then you could lift your lid up as well, and then it just, you put your bike on and it just and up it goes again.
Yeah, well, okay, you can actually have these hydraulic lift things on your bike rack, but then your bike rack gets heavier, and you've got to remember on my little van where I've got it, and that you can't get the weight over a certain amount. So being there, done all that.
You'd have to have one at the front as well, you see. That would balance you out. Bike at the front, bike at the back. There you go. Sorted.
You're being so facetious. So that's the whole bike, the e-bike thing for getting around type thingy, you know. But I decided I'm not going to do anything more on my van because in 2024 that new law comes out and I'm no longer legal. So the value of my van drops away to nothing, you know. It's absolutely ludicrous because just sitting around me here, there's Juicy Vans, there's another company called Cheap Camper Vans. There's three other camper vans around here that don't have fixed toilets. One of them doesn't even have a toilet, which don't have showers. Now, these people are in a camping ground, so they're okay, but these people are also allowed to camp out there, and they're a business, and they're still operating. Whereas me, I become illegal. And I was talking to one of the NZMCA inspectors recently, and he said, oh, no, that's ridiculous that you become illegal, Irene. He said, they must have a way of making special concessions for you, you know. But then I was reading in the articles and that several other campers like me who have got fabulous campers which are just slide in and out toilets, they've all got the same thing, and they said surely there can be some sort of concession made for us campers who are set up like this. And NZMCA came back and said, no, we will be sticking to the rules. We will be supporting the rule that the government puts out, and if you're illegal, you're illegal. That's it.
I'm having this thought here. Now I know what to do. You need a little trailer. A little trailer. It can hold your e-bike or moped. It can have a portaloo on it. And may as well have put the shower on there as well. And there you go. Just a little baby, short little trailer that fits all of those things on. Away you go.
I would still be illegal. The porter, the toilet, the rules, there's absolutely ludicrous, no sense rules are the toilet has to be fixed.
Well, it's fixed on the trailer. You could like rent a portaloo and they could just come and take it away when it's full.
Well, see, that's the whole thing. You're not allowed to move the. You're not allowed to move. I mean, my toilet's fixed as far as I'm concerned, but no, it has to be fixed and plumbed into a system where you can just pull the cassette out and take it off. In other words, you have to have a $200,000 jobby to be legal. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I had one of these guys in these great big $200,000 jobbies. I had him making this comment in the kitchen the other day. And he was saying about, oh, how all these small camper vans, the noise of them opening and shutting their doors is just so annoying.
You know? I totally and utterly agree with him. Oh, my God. There is nothing worse than being in a campsite. Yep, I'm with him.
Okay, well, it's either tent or $2,000 jobby because nothing in between is allowed to be anymore. You know, you're either back to your tent, and they'll find a way to get rid of the tents as well soon. Well, tents aren't allowed to be in the camp anymore.
I think that when you open your back boot, you might just need to get rid of a little bit of your storage. But if you put, you know, like the old water clock, well, you could stick a toilet in there, but you know, like the old water, the box, there would be enough room because you don't need much room. But if you lifted that up and then you kind of got in and sat on it, and then it, if it was against the side, it'd just come out, you know, slide the pipe slide out the side. I'm sure you could actually make one in there, you know.
You could very easily. I mean, I looked at making it on the side here so that it was, you know, as long as it's fixed, they're happy. But the whole thing is, the minute you cut into the structure of the van, you're totally changing the structure of the van, and so you then have all these other problems related to the van's stability and the van's, you know. I mean, it doesn't matter which way you go. If you try and do what they're ridiculously asking for, you're going to compromise some other part of their over-the-top rules and regulations. So my van is safe. It's totally up to every rule and regulation that it has to be for now. And it's got a specific home. I mean, that was what was originally put in the thing. It had to have a home where you could actually use the portaloo without having to put your bed away or anything away, that you could just pull the portaloo out and use it in your van. If they had made that law and put that law in, that would have been sufficient to stop all the people that are hiring these vehicles or using these vehicles that have portaloos in them, but they're underneath all this other stuff so they don't bother getting it all out to be able to use it. And they cannot use the portaloo in the car itself 9 times out of 10. It has to be used outside in the open, you know?
Hey, I've got an idea. I've got an idea. Make the passenger seat a toilet. And then just put a piece of sponge over it so nobody would even know. God, imagine that.
How is that going to... I've got it already there. That's still going to compromise the integrity of the van. I'm telling you, girl, you're just being a nit. I would quite happily make the passenger seat a toilet. In fact, I would quite happily make the passenger seat a shower. But there's another problem with that as well, is that's where the battery and the engine is.
Oh, well, we'll get... Hey, for our listeners out there, if you've got any great little hints there for Irene, she's all set up as she is, but soon she won't be. Soon she'll be illegal. Is there anything else we can do without spending, oh my gosh, so much money and losing too much space? Love to hear your ideas, but that's all we've got time for today. So we'll see you guys the same time, same place next week.
Ciao.
Your language.